So as you were in Chicago, Merrill, it just seemed that they did not have any type of real idea about what they were doing or where they were going from the running standpoint. I know we were talking about concussions and what they were going to do with you transitioning over from being a Steeler to now a Chicago Bear. I understand that concussions are a thing of the present, and I don't mean of the past, of the present, because you have to understand the present to know where you're going. So presently they're doing a lot more now, a lot more testing, a lot more verifying if you're able to come back to play in the game or if you have to sit out. If you do, your best interest is to actually sit out, to wait for the next, you know, game or two games or three games or whatever the protocol dictates. So from an analyst perspective, we're looking at being a Bear versus being a Steeler, two completely different teams, NFC, AFC, from the front office to coaching staff. Which team do you believe gave Merrill Hodge the best chance to succeed?
Well, you know, at the time in Pittsburgh, and really one of the reasons I went to Chicago was I wasn't being utilized in the same way in Pittsburgh that I was under Bill Cowher that I was with Chuck Noll. And even though they had talked to me about changing that, you know, I just felt that over the last couple of years, they kind of talked about that as well, but nothing had happened. And then keep in mind, Chicago asked, you know, Chicago paid me twice what the Steelers were offering me. Now, I still was willing to go back to the Steelers, but they didn't want to budge. And, you know, that's part of the business. You know, teams are going to have to, you know, stand, you know, budget-wise where they want to stand. So I realized that. And Chicago has really given me an opportunity to play a role that I used to play in Pittsburgh, but I got to play it in Chicago. Now, because it, you know, and it didn't start out like that, even though they sold me on that, mm-hmm. It didn't start out like that. But, mm-hmm. You know, I don't know that it wouldn't have kind of morphed into more of that as the season unfolded, but unfortunately my career ended, you know, early. But listen, the thing I'm grateful for, I got to play for my two favorite teams. When I was a kid, the Steelers and the Bears were my two favorite teams, and I got to play for both. And, you know, I couldn't have scripted it any better from that perspective, so I'm grateful. I wish it would have been longer in Chicago. It was, you know, very similar to Pittsburgh. You know, they're passionate about football. You know, they're great football fans there. Would love to have played there, but I will always be grateful that I was drafted first by the Steelers.
You know, moving forward, you had the opportunity to do something that at the time was relatively unprecedented. You transitioned from being on the field, on the gridiron, in the thick of things, to somebody who now is analyzing, reporting from the game's perspective very uniquely. And you've done that extremely well, obviously long enough to ESPN to continue having you anyway. And I was recalling a first take talking about Johnny Manziel with Skip Bayless and Stephen A. Smith, and I was just kind of dumbfounded. I recalled that you were stating that essentially he has, you know, no good pocket presence. You know, what do you do with the ball when it's in your hands? Do you run it? Do you throw it? You know, indecisiveness that he had on the field. And Skip Bayless said, "I disagree with you on all counts." He says that he's spoken to somebody in high school that he played for in the SEC conference, essentially saying that, you know, he's going to be this next player, you know, aficionado past Cam Newton's offensive record and so on and so forth. And I just sat back and I just looked at Skip Bayless like I never do and said, "Are you serious?" And when I looked on your face, you were sitting there just trying to bite your tongue because because you didn't essentially want to be combative, but you were still trying to retain your ground. In 2002, you had something horrific that occurred that changed your life. I mean, beyond imaginary belief, that led you to an understanding when you're able to find a way to survive. A shoulder injury in a car accident, you had torn a ligament, had it repaired. However, 6 months later, you went in to Jim Bradley, then Steeler physician's office, and there was some back pain that was like throbbing. I mean, extremely painful, excruciating. I probably couldn't even fathom what that feels like. But obviously, Valentine's Day, February 14th in 2003, you were diagnosed with stage 2, non-Hodgkin's, thank God for that, lymphoma. And you had six chemotherapy treatments on the 28th, which led you to where you're at right now. You use the struggles that you went through, the pain that led you to be who you are now. The aficionado, the dad, the father, the ESPN analyst, all that being set aside, you're a human first. How has that affected you personally to where now you're making strides and goals to help make sure that other people who are cancer survivors keep the faith?
Well, I will tell you this. You know, when I got diagnosed on Valentine's Day in 2013, it was the darkest day I've ever had in my life. You know, when you have cancer, and I had a 3-pound tumor in my lower back, then you're going to have to endure brutal chemotherapy, and they can't guarantee if it will work. You know, there's a perspective, and still for me to this day, it's hard for me to articulate, you know, those emotions and feelings. I just refer back to it. This is the darkest, emptiest day of my life. And, I've already talked a little bit about Chuck Noll and the things that he's meant to me in my life, but the thing that has inspired me since I was 12 years old was the word find a way. It has inspired me to take action towards things that I'm striving to accomplish. Now, I never thought in a million years they would become the words that helped me fight to live, but those words did. And that processing, you know, sent me on a journey, and I used the tools that I'd used inside the white lines of a football field to be helping me beat it. And, you know, there's so many things that, you know, transpire through that 6 months, but I just have a different perspective now on life. You know, I watch people go, oh, I'm not going to have a birthday this year. And, or, you know, I don't want to see my kids grow up and move on. And I'm like, I look at it differently now. I appreciate the journey. I appreciate every moment. I'm grateful for my birthday. I can't wait to see the next one and hope I'm here for it. I'm grateful to see my kids graduate and, you know, get married, go to college, graduate from college. You know, I'm so grateful to see that journey and different experiences I get with them. So, you know, it's been a blessing, you know, even though it was one of the dark days of my life, it's become a powerful tool for me.
I have personally, in my own family, have dealt with cancer survivors and cancer that didn't quite survive, because it took a family member to make me realize that cancer is a very serious thing, and there needs to be a cure found. Unfortunately, there isn't. And I can only hope that those that are out there listening to this interview will understand that it's a life or death situation, that this is not a joking matter. It's not something to take lightly. But to survive, to move forward, to be progressive, to understand where you've been, to know where you're going, and I've made that statement quite a few times in multiple interviews that I've had, it just seems very fitting in all aspects and all dynamics to be you. To be who you are, be true to yourself, but understand the journey that you've taken in order to accept and reward those around you with knowledge and understanding. And before I let you go, as I know you have this NFL alumni event, what are your thoughts about Jerome Bettis getting into the 2015 Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio?
Well, I couldn't be happier for him. You know, he earned it. He deserves to be there. And I think some of the difficulties of getting to the Hall of Fame for Steelers is because there's so many Steelers there, you know, and that's absolutely dumb. It's It shouldn't be, but, you know, the political side of it is it's the reality, it's the truth, you know. It just, because there's so many who are, I can't put another one in there, even though they qualify and they're good enough and they're all famous. But I'm so happy for him. He's deserving of it. Incredible player. You know, incredible guy. Just enjoy getting to know him more and more. You know, at ESPN, as we've got to work together more. So, and he and I will be in Latrobe, you know, opening weekend, doing the 50th anniversary and doing NFL Live. So I'm excited to see him there and get that going too, and realizing 50 years of Steelers at Latrobe, Pennsylvania will be pretty cool.
I would say so. I had the chance to interview Jerome shortly after the announcement was made that he was getting into the walls of Canton. I'm almost positive they're going to build a wing just dedicated to the Pittsburgh Steelers and the amount of them that are in there. And political or not, you cannot fathom about what it takes to get there unless you're currently underway there, you're already in there, or you're on the cusp of getting in there. Fortunately enough for Steeler Nation, he is in. He is in. It took him a long time to do it. He's been on the ballot a few times, been denied all those times except for this last time. I can only imagine what it would be like to sit there and watch the bus, sixth all-time leading rusher in NFL history, finally get in. And all he wanted was a ring. Ben Roethlisberger brought him back and said, look, we're going to get you a ring, just come back. And he did, and it was the last ride, the last play in Detroit against the Seahawks, and he went out in winning fashion. So with that being said, Merrill, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. I value it. Steeler Nation values it. They'll be listening to this as soon as I can get it put on the site. And I wish you the best in everything that you do moving forward, and I hope everybody out there will also find a way to be inspired by this man who has done so much, not only for his life, but for those people's lives that he has touched and continues to touch. So thank you so much, Merrill.
You got it, brother. Take care. Go Steeler Nation, buddy.
You got it. Thank you so much, Merrill. Take care.